ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Andy Finn Show. I'm Andy Finn, the Finn Man, and for the next 3 hours, you're in Finland. Today is Thursday, October 20th, and today is the first day of the rest of the Andy Finn Show. There is so much going on, I almost don't know where to start. Let me start with some news, and then I'll get to some personal things, including U2 is in the news, and it's in my personal life because I saw him in concert last night at the MCI Center, but also Rick Santorum had to withdraw a claim, or Newsmax had to withdraw a claim that Rick Santorum had U2 performing a benefit concert for him up in Philly. We'll get to that. Tom DeLay was booked today, the baby giant panda, kind of an oxymoron, got his name this week. The NBA has a dress code, and some of our gangster players are upset. They're being dissed, I think, they think. There's an Arizona State basketball player who refuses to wear the Adidas shoes that school has contracted him to wear, and so he's not allowed to play. He's doing it because of injuries. We'll get to that. And then our right-wing talk show host tonight is El Rushbo. Rush Limbaugh has said some pretty stupid things just recently. And much of the last hour, we're going to talk with John Clark. Last week we covered AOL Music's number one songwriter in the history of rock, Bob Dylan. You can hear those archived segments on my website at andyfinn.us. That's andyfinn.us. Tonight, John and I are going to talk extensively about Lennon and McCartney, who came in number two. And you'll hear a little bit of Beatles music as well. And in the first two-thirds of the show, you're going to hear U2 music, because we are celebrating tonight, having just seen them. Let me start with the hottest news of the day. So the biggest news of today is that Tom DeLay was booked. He was expected to go to Austin, and he wanted to avoid the perp walk and being photographed going in and out, and maybe even photographed with it getting fingerprinted. So he turned himself in at the sheriff's office in Houston. He was fingerprinted, photographed, and released on $10,000 bail. He's being charged with conspiracy and money laundering. I don't think he's a flight risk, really, and not when you're a powerful man in the House of Representatives. So $10,000 bail is probably enough. And, of course, he and his lawyer are still maintaining that these are trumped-up charges, and, you know, that remains to be seen. It may very well be a political indictment. On the other hand, it will raise the public's consciousness about this issue. If it is legal what he did, maybe we ought to change whether or not you can do that, because basically, if you remember the charge, and he says both sides do it, I'm very interested in finding out if that is true. The Texas Republicans are not allowed to use corporate money to fund local state campaigns down there. And so the Texas Republican PAC that DeLay runs or started shipped $170,000 up to the Republican National Committee in Washington. And a week or two later, they shipped the equivalent amount down and distributed it to six different candidates running for the Texas State House. And ultimately, Republicans took over the Texas State House, and then they redrew the districts, which we usually do only every 10 years after the census, but it had just been done in 2000. They redrew it in 2002. And Republicans then sent five or six more Republicans to the U.S. House of Representatives, enhancing the Republicans' lead in 2004. Now, so DeLay's strategy worked. The question is whether there's anything wrong with shipping money to Washington and then back again. Their argument is it came from two different accounts, so it's not the same money. It seems to me the spirit of the law should be addressed. So even if they end up dismissing these indictments against DeLay or something, and even if the Democrats do it, I would love to get to the bottom of it, because I'm not particularly interested in Tom DeLay's scalp here. I'm much more interested in knowing whether or not we're going to allow this kind of stuff to go on, where you can get around the rules just by a little fancy finagling. In any case, not really that big a deal today, meaning there's the news is that he was booked. There's no new developments in the case, really. There is a new development with the giant panda, however. The giant panda turned 100 days old this week, and that's the date on which it's agreed that you name your pandas. I guess this is a Chinese tradition, and they laid down the rules for this kind of thing quite some time ago. And so they also gave us 5 names we could choose from, all Chinese names. And there was a contest held, as we've reported before. And we named the baby giant panda Tai Xian. And that means peaceful mountain. If you've seen the pictures, he's cute as a button. If you haven't seen him, you really should go out to the Washington National Zoo's website and take a look at them. It turns out that people cast a lot of votes for this. You'd like to think they were as interested in voting for elections, but the panda got over 200,000 votes, and it was very clear Tai Xian got 88,000 votes. The next nearest was 66,000, and after that it was 18,000. So it was either going to be Quang Quang or Tai Xian, and Tai Xian won a convincing victory. In politics, we'd call that a landslide. Now, the thing they haven't decided is when the cub will debut. They were going to let the public see him shortly after the 100 days. I think it was going to be in November, and now they've put that off and haven't announced a date yet. So we'll have to see how that comes about. Oh, another little item that was in the news that's worth mentioning in passing is that there's a piece in the paper this week about Fairfax County, my county, outlining its disaster planning. And of course, I've said this before, that, you know, if somebody drops the big one on Washington, explodes a nuclear device, some kind of emergency such that we want to leave. I'm 17 miles, 15 miles from D.C., here in Fairfax County, and if something disastrous happened in D.C. and I needed to move west to get away from D.C., like radioactive fallout was coming my way, I've always believed I wouldn't get anywhere. That is, the roads would be jammed immediately. I could head for the nearest interstate, I could head for whatever I head for, and the roads would be so jammed you just wouldn't get out of town, because we put one or two people in a car typically, and it's just not ready to handle everyone getting on the road at once. So I've always believed we are just screwed if that happens. Well, it turns out that that's the conclusion we're coming to. I think part of this was the recent experience in East Texas, everybody trying to leave the Gulf Coast, and there were these 18-hour traffic jams on the interstates. Strangely enough, they did not turn the interstates into everybody go the other direction. I can tell you this, if a nuclear bomb hit, I'd be on 66 in the eastbound lanes heading west, and so would everybody else. And so the traffic heading west would just have to get out of the way. We wouldn't need time for the cops to set it up. You trying to get away from nuclear fallout, you would just not worry about it. You just point your cars any place you could go, and you'd go. That'd be the way it was. You wouldn't wait for red lights. You wouldn't do anything, I guess. And that's the problem. In any case, they're now recommending, because we have 1 million people in Fairfax County, they're now recommending, surprise, surprise, sheltering in place, it's called. Meaning, don't try and get in your vehicle. You're not going to go anywhere. You might as well simply go to your basement and duck and cover, which is pitiful, but that is the current state of things. Let me cover a couple of things in sports. So, the NBA has a dress code now, and interestingly, there are people complaining about it. Now, these are people that make between, I guess, $1 or $2 or $3 million and $16 million a year. The problem is there's a lot of guys in the NBA that like the sloppy look, or what some people call the thug look, And, you know, they want to wear baggy shorts and T-shirts or sweats or pullovers or something. And they might be $100 pullovers, but they just look like pullovers. They don't look like snazzy clothes. And the NBA has come up with this rule that for any NBA-sponsored event where you're representing the NBA, you have to have on dress slacks, some kind of a shirt with a collar, and I think that implies a golf shirt is okay. It's business casual, essentially, and a sports coat of some sort, I believe. Well, there are people complaining about that. I'm not going to go into it any more than to say, you know, if I had a job where they were paying me millions of dollars, and I believe everyone in the NBA makes over $1 million. I could be wrong. The rookie salaries might only be $400,000, $600,000, $800,000, I don't know. But the average is like $3.2 million or something. So it's not like anybody's hurting for money. No matter, if you paid me that kind of money, I'd wear whatever you said to work. But NBA players aren't used to that. Another area of dress code that I thought was very interesting is there's an Arkansas State basketball player by the name of Jerry Nichols. He's a senior. And he's refusing to wear the Adidas sneakers that the school supplies to him and to the whole team because he believes that it may be part of the reason that he had a serious knee injury earlier in his career, like 4 years ago. The problem is that the school signs a contract with Adidas and they get money and they get all the sneakers for free for not only the football team, I mean basketball team, but for probably all the sports teams. But the players are required to wear it. So he had some Nikes that he liked, and he put tape over the logo. No, that's not good enough. The contract specifically says you cannot do that. So here's a guy that thinks the shoe is causing an injury, and he's now, he hasn't been suspended, but he's missed three practices as of the time this article was written this week. And he's got no prospects of playing unless he's willing to wear the shoes that he believes caused his injury. So it's a really weird thing. Now, the coach, by the way, doesn't get money either. All that money from the Adidas sports. And Nike has more schools sewn up for equipment, you know, for uniforms and for sneakers than Adidas ever thought of having. So it's not just Adidas. But there is no good answer to that. Once you lock in and you take the money from one of these corporate sponsors, it's a bargain with the... dare I say, the devil of sports shoes. No, it's a problem. It's, you want the money, you have to play by the rules. And this is a case where it's coming back to bite them. When we come back, I want to talk about the concert that I saw last night at the MCI Center. And this is the band involved.